Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hala Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So a little background, I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, and to empower people, especially adults, to own their own voices and talents that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes. So I am so grateful to have had the opportunity to talk to so many different kinds of people. Musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, entrepreneurs as young as 13, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So I believe that sharing these stories expands one's thinking, opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Jessie Liu. As a mother of four and a cybersecurity expert, she has also had to face the same task as all parents, which are rearing safe and responsible digital children. We are living in the digital era, and hence we need new skills to digital parent our children. She has been able to help parents to become confident digital parents, having better relationships with their children while empowering their children to use electronic devices in a responsible way and staying safe online. Excited to have this conversation. Jessie, welcome to the space.
Hi, Hollis. This Perfect. Is Jessie.
Hello, Jessie. So happy that you're here.
Yes, thank you for inviting me to this conversations, Creative Conversations podcast. I'm actually excited to be here.
I am so glad. And first of all, I have to say that Jessie is in Malaysia. So it is 11 p.m. her time. So thank you so much for staying up so late with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much as well. I'm actually excited to share, you know, what I have with, you know, how to getting creative with all your audience.
Good. Yeah, this is going to be fun. So after reading just a little bit about you, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourself before we dive into the questions?
Sure. As I, you know, you have actually talked about it. So I'm actually a cybersecurity expert. And then I actually started this digital parenting during the pandemic. Because you know what, when the pandemic hits in March 2020, my children also need to pivot to online classroom. And they are going to have access to the device all day long because, you know, they have to use the device to go for online school, online classroom and all that. And then I realized that, okay, so I have to do something about it because I'm worried about screen addictions. I'm worried about the internet dangers out there. And coincidentally, my friend who is also, you know, given his teenager boy to have the smartphone because of the pandemic and also he needs to use it for the online classroom, she called me up and she was complaining and she told me that she has to fight with her teenager boys to get back the smartphone due to the bad screen addictions. And then I realized that, wow, I have something to offer. And that's how I actually got started.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's such an important topic. And I'm just really excited to learn more from you about this because there's so much that we don't know. And I can say me too, as a parent, it's kind of sometimes we put our hands up in the air and it's like, well, they're going to find out about stuff, but there's so much stuff out there that so much stuff. And with your cybersecurity background, working corporate for over 14 years, I mean, you are very knowledgeable in this world of what's lurking out there.
Yes. And the part that I'm actually really concerned is about the, I know the internet dangers out there, and I know that the cyber criminals that we are actually dealing, they are pretty smart, to be honest. You know, in most of the security incident I handle, meaning that, you know, the hackers has been access to the systems and all that. To be honest, we never caught the cyber criminal.
Really?
Yes, I don't have an incident, but I never have the incident that we managed to caught the cyber criminals. But we kind of know what he's doing, and then we try to recover as much as we can, you know, from the security incident.
Wow, so interesting. There's so much that happens that goes beyond, you know, behind the scenes that we're going to dive into more. So thank you for just that little window so far before we dive in. So I am going to ask you a would you rather question before we dive into the first question. So, Jesse, would you rather wear clown makeup every day for a week or a tutu every day for a week?
I guess I will go for the tutu. I guess I will go for the tutu. Maybe it seems to be less hassle. I think that clown will have, you know, have more work. You have to, you know, paint your face. But tutu is just, you know, put it on and that's it. Then I guess that I'm a busy woman, to be honest. And I'm still in a lockdown. So I'm like homeschooling my twins. So, you know, my time is very limited. So I will guess that I will actually go for something that is creative. At the same time is, you know, taking a little bit of your time, but not too much.
I love that. I didn't even think of that. It's so true. I just thought of the freakiness aspect of the clown makeup. I wouldn't want to scare the heck out of people like continuously. I know my mother has a huge fear of clowns. And one time she called me up and she's like, oh my God, Hal, there was a clown driving a car. I almost crashed. She's just that like clown phobia, whatever, if there's a particular name for it, I don't know. But yes, the tutu would be easier and you could have fun with it. It could be colorful. It could be a nice accent.
Yes. It depends on what else you want to place with the tutu, right? You can just add on some accessories and then maybe, you know, wear a nicer clothes and which pair with the tutu and maybe do a team party, you know?
I love it. So many possibilities.
Yes. There's so many possibilities on how you want to get creative with that.
Okay. That's a whole other topic, but maybe we can weave it in. We'll see. So, okay. So our first official question is, so in your world, Jesse, how do you define creativity?
Well, I guess I apply it in the digital parenting or, you know, the parenting for, you know, it's about like discovering what the positive things that the internet has to offer. It could be one of the way. Right. So actually, internet has a lot of things to be offered. So to be honest, my second son, his name is Wei. He was using the internet, you know, to learn to draw. And I can see that because he's just curious and he just want to learn more. He just explore. He will able to find a lot of creative ways to with his drawings. You know, I wish that I can show you right now because some of the drawings, but, you know, you can always go back to my profile because I post about, you know, his creativity work on my profile. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's also about like, you know, what are the things that we can use it for positive use? Like, I remember one time, you know, my eldest daughter, you know, because my second son, he is more temperamental and sometimes he may actually have more temper, he get angry easily. So we were talking, okay, how do we get angry less or less agitated, you know? And she was actually saying, I'm curious about that. And she just searched on the Google and search, you know, how do you reduce anger, you know? So it's actually really about how you see that particular things and how do you see associate creativity with that? Because most parents I talk to, they view the internet as the evil. It's the screen addictions. is the content is too much, too negative, and it's about the perspective of how you look at it.
Yeah, I love the word that you just used there, perspective. Two words that caught my attention were explore and perspective. And the internet is, I mean, oh my gosh, there is a crazy, I mean, I remember when I was younger, we had encyclopedias and, you know, A to B, B to C, you know, kind of thing. You could look up anything within the encyclopedias and there it was. Now, I mean, as we know, more than anything, like you can just put in Google a word and a million different options come up in order to be able to explore. Sometimes there's the negative where it's like, oops, I put in the wrong word there. And that just brought up a whole other world that didn't want to know. Then there's the whole blocking and whatever. That's your area, which we can dive more into. But there is so much access. Like you said, with the drawing, being an art teacher, and when I was in the classroom, sometimes like on Friday, we would have like a down day where we would work in centers and they'd have choice. But on some days when the kids were really into wanting to know how to draw, there was a specific site, which I can't remember the name of it now, but they're very interactive. And the kids, I made sketchbooks for them and they did a step-by-step and followed along and they really enjoyed it and they felt successful.
Yes, yes. And I guess that's why, because I'm allowing my son to use the internet, you know, in a safely way, obviously. And I encourage him to explore things that he likes. So I can see that he will just explore. And sometimes the things that we never taught, you know, like I never taught to, you know, create a 3D artwork, you know. Maybe I'm not a very artistic person. So when my son actually, you know, came up with the 3D artwork, I was amused. I was just amused. I was like, oh, I never thought of that. And he was actually really putting his creativity and into that. So it's about like really be freely flow, I guess, freely flow, and allow him to explore what is out there in a safe way.
Yeah. So, but I want to dive into a little bit more with just this concept of cybersecurity. So taking it into the digital world of, you know, the corporate world. So how would you define what you were doing within a creative sense within that corporate world?
Well, in the corporate world, to be honest, I think the creative world is actually less, because in cybersecurity, there is a lot of security standards. So basically, we have standards that we need to use, but sometimes it's actually really open to interpretation. So it's actually really up to you. How do you think that it works the best for the users, right? Mm-hmm. So, but obviously, the creativity is actually a bit less, because, you know, we want to minimize the risk. So basically, everything is locked down, because to be honest, you do not want the employees to explore, right? Mm-hmm. You just want them to do the work, mm-hmm. finish the work, right? And you don't want them to bring in unnecessary things like hackers, virus, I don't know what you download, you know? So basically, the things is also quite limited for that. But applying creativity, you know, one of the things that I can think of would be, you know, maybe create about like, how do you teach the users about cybersecurity? So you can actually get some a bit creative about that, so that they can remember rather than they just read like lines by lines. And to be honest, it's actually quite boring. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. if you actually want to listen to all this cybersecurity, what you should do, what you should not click, what you can do, you know, while password cannot share with other people, you know, it's actually quite boring and it's just dry subject. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But at the same time, I guess what I would kind of put out there and see what you have to think is two things. One is what you're doing is a lot of problem solving.
Yes.
So that is creative. I mean, I put that under the definition of what creativity is. I mean, you're problem solving all the time and really kind of looking at connecting dots and investigating and exploring this area to see how it connects to this, to lead to this. Like, I can see like a whole map in my head. I mean, you're doing that constantly in this process.
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, when we design, if we want to design the whole thing, we always have to constantly think like, if I'm the hacker, then how do I actually see things, you know? So, you know, the first thing, where should I go in and which one I should actually attack? Because usually, you know, people will actually attack the lower hanging fruits, which is usually the users. And then after that, they will start to invade. So we are constantly thinking, you know, think as a hacker, although we are not the hackers. And we have to think, how do we minimize the risk? How do we minimize the risk at this side, particular side, you know? So we're actually constantly being creative in that sense, if you actually talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're incredibly creative. There's almost like there's a role-playing aspect, like you said, of thinking, okay, I'm kind of trying to get into the mindset and perspective of this person. And what does that look like? And what would they do first? And it's like a chess game.
Yes, yes, in a way, yes.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was going to say is that during explaining this to people and making people aware, I mean, there's to make it fun and to take something that's dry and make it something that people want to, like how they remember it and want to listen. There's a whole bunch going on in there. I know that a friend of mine who is a dentist, and he travels around to conferences. And as he's talking about things that are kind of dry, his personality is so big, and he almost does things as like a talk show host. And, you know, he has people laughing and he has people doing these things while he's presenting his information that isn't the most exciting information, but people are more engaged in the process.
Yes, yes, yes. You have to find ways to get people to engage. Otherwise, you know, people will just fall asleep, because like I'm sure like dental is also something that, you know, if you actually read the textbook, it will be, you know, quite boring as well. And it's the same for cybersecurity. If you read the textbook, it will be just, you know, I think by the first page, I guess that most people will just fall asleep.
Right. It's like the first few lines and okay. Well, I'm curious, and before we get to the other questions, we're going to get more into, you know, what I call this rearing safe and responsible children. But how did you get into this area? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. So basically, like I said, I have some cybersecurity background. And then also that because I actually move on, because, you know, cybersecurity, the career actually requires a lot of commitment. So, and I'm also a mother of four. So, you know, I couldn't like really cope up. And that's the point that I think that I need to, you know, do something else. So I actually explore to some financial industry. And then that's where I actually learn about sales, negotiations, persuasion. And also that I'm also required to train some of the financial consultants, you know, and it's all about like, you know, building a culture, building, you know, a person that, you know, associates to this identity. They want to be better. They want to pursue what they want in the financial industries, awards and something like that. And that's where I actually got the concept about the family values, you know, the motivations, but motivations only work so much. So that's why it's about the connection with your children. And then also about, you know, really about their own identity. And by combining about all the about things about the internet safety, habits and parenting. And that's where I started to put everything into this. And then I actually structure and actually apply on my children. And at the same time, because, you know, my friend actually gave me some inspiration that, you know, this is something that I can do, especially during the pandemic. We are in the lockdown. To be honest, we are quite in a lockdown for a very long time, you know.
So you guys are still in a heavy lockdown?
Yes, in a way. My state is actually in the phase two, and they are going to move to phase three tomorrow. So the school haven't opened. Actually, the cases is high, But, you know, people are suffering, you know, so, you know, economy has to be open. So they just have to open the economy while just park on, you know, the vaccination program works. Because now at my country, I think we have about like 60 over percent people are already fully vaccinated. So they're just going to bank on this vaccination and hope, you know, all things will just be good and just, you know, live with the virus, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just wish that you, you know, continued health to you and your family through all of this. But I think this is such an important topic that you're touching on with what you've created with the parenting. And I love the words that you use with connection and culture and safety. I mean, there's so much. I mean, as parents, you get tired. I mean, what do you say to, I want to hear more about what you're doing, but I guess a direct question of, you know, parents coming to you because they're working and, you know, they have all these other things to deal with and their kids are, you know, on computer for school, or if they were in school and then come home, parents are just like, I'm tired. Like, I can't monitor everything that they're doing. You know, what do you say?
Well, yes, I think there's two parts. Number one is, you know, sometimes we can't connect with our children. It could be ourselves, you know, we are too overwhelmed. We are tired. You know, we just need some time for ourselves, you know, and perhaps because of the lack of self-love, we are not able to give more love to other people. Mm. So, and because there's one incident that in March 2019, one of my friends passed away. And when she passed away, it's actually, and that time, somehow my life is okay. I'm doing okay, you know, financially, I'm okay. You know, everything seems to be good. But I wasn't really happy that time. So I actually take a step back and I really look into what I want in life. Because, and that time, because my friend pass on, actually it really triggers a lot of things on my mind. Mm-hmm. And then the first thing that I realized that is, you know what, I need to have some self-love. Mm-hmm. Because when we lack of self-love, we are not able to give more because we don't love ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And when our cups are full, then we can actually give more. So the first thing is about, you know, the connection with the children is also sometimes it's about us. Self-love is actually very important because when you love yourself more, you're able to give more. And then the second thing is about how do you restructure your day? What are the priorities? What are the things that you can, you know, put in the systems? Like, you know, it's just work as expected that you know that to prevent more chaos coming into picture. You know, like, and that's why I think that shaping the children's internet habits would be one of the best way rather than I have to be on their online activities all the time. So there's two aspects to that. So I will actually say, you know, if parents come to me, I'm tired, I'm just overwhelmed, I've so too much things on my plate and now I have to monitor my children's internet access. Oh, this is too much.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said about self-love. And it's interesting because it's been coming up a lot. And we know this, but it's been coming up a lot in conversation. The whole thing of, you know, you're on a plane and the masks, you know, there's an issue in the mask drop and you put it on yourself first before you put it on others, your kids, because you need to be full and ready in order to be able to help other people. If you're depleted, you can't be of service and you can't help because you don't have the energy. So this whole concept of self-love within this context, I think, is really important. And also the structuring and the priorities of the day to prevent more chaos. So true. Like, and setting the standards, like, what are your thoughts on restriction of time? Like, do you say internet goes off like at 10 p.m., we shut down the internet so you don't have access? Do you take all electronic items away? How do you handle those kind of situations?
Well, you know, my way is a bit different because I believe in empowering my children because I can't be there all the time, you know, because, you know, one of the lessons that my friend, when she passed on, I realized that, you know, sometimes it's not that we don't want to be there. We cannot be there because we don't have a choice to, right? So I believe in empowering my children, you know, so that they can be more independent. They can also make better decisions. But obviously, you need to teach them how to think, you know, how to make good decisions. You know, what are the perspectives you have to look into as well? You know, and also asking about questions rather than tell them all the time. Maybe it's time to listen more and let them talk, right? So my belief is it empowering them. So for me, I have an internet safety habits agreement, which I co-created with my children. And we have an agreement that, you know, this is the time you will use at nighttime. Definitely, it's time to sleep. It's not good for your health. And, you know, the device should actually put in another place, right? So I didn't, to be honest, I didn't even take the phone, you know, because this is one of my students actually asked me in yesterday coaching call. So she asked me, do you take away the device? And I said, no, actually, the device is in the study room. So I just asked her, no, when it's finished, just put at the study room. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they were always put back. I don't even bother to, you know, take and make sure that I have the control. And sometimes I felt that the more you restrict, the more children want to, want to hold on it. And there's one small trick that I teach my student as well. And it was so funny because I keep telling her, you know, that's where the attention goes, where's the energy goes. When your attention is less screen time, then where's the energy? Your children's energy go to the screen time. And that's why it's created the conflict. So yes, we want to reduce screen time, but you can't put the attention on the screen time. You have to put somewhere else, right? So I keep repeating that if you put less, you will see that your children may not want to hang on the screen time. And you know what? After she sit with me on, I think by the third coaching call, I was telling her on my first coaching call. And on the third coaching call, you know what? She said, I tried to use the tactics that I teach her. And she finds that, you know what? The landscape of the screen time is actually have changed, you know? The conflict around the screen is actually less compared with last time. She keeps saying, no! Then, no, I must have it, you know? Can you give me 20 minutes, 30 minutes? So it's just changed the landscape, you know? So a small trick, this small trick will actually help you in the long run.
You are so, oh my gosh. It seems so simple, but it's so true. We get so caught up in like that whole parental thing of I'm the parent, I'm right, this is the rules, da-da-da. And my daughter so aptly reminds me, now she's 18, and she's like, Mom, you know, the more you say I can't do something, the more I'm going to want to do it. She's like, so you realize that, right? I'm like, I know, you're right. Like, I think she was my mother in another life. Like, she's always saying these insightful things. I'm like, you're right. I know. But yeah, so it's that whole pushing. But I love the idea of this contract. So, and listening more because, yes, kids want to be heard. If you're constantly throwing restriction around them, there's the whole thing of wanting to push back. So tell me more about this agreement. Do you put it in writing? Do you have them sign it?
The first thing usually I do is the family values, which we co-created because, and usually most of my students actually use my methods for their online and offline. So the first thing is I create the family values, which I create with them. And we will really drill down to, you know, what we really want in terms of the values, right? Then after that, we will actually move on to the internet safety. And it's about the identity of, you know, your children want to embrace. Like, for example, one of my family values is responsible. So when it comes to responsible, means that you are responsible for your own things, your study, your chores, you know, your whatever activities that you want to put, right? So they also have the responsible to make sure that they are able to do things that they are responsible for first before move to the screen time. or maybe to use it for their hobbies. You know, it's about the identity that they want to embrace. So the Internet Safety Habits Agreement, once we agreed, and then how I usually do it is, it depends on how you want to do it, but usually I get my, I give my daughter a color markers, you know, and I give her like a cardboard and I ask her to write. And this is what we agreed. And we constantly discuss about the agreement, and it's also a reminder service, you know, put the agreement in a place that is very visible so they know that this is what they've agreed.
So the, and I like the aspect of writing it as well. It's not like you typed it out and put it in this space. You're actually having them write it. So at least one of them write it, where it's that brain to hand transfer of information. So it sinks in more.
Yes, yes. And to be honest, when they wrote it, they will actually hold themselves more accountable, because I believe that empowering, I should actually give away the power. And I guess that most parents come to me is the one that they struggle is about how much power you are willing to give away. And most parents, they are struggling with that. Perhaps they just worry that if I give away the power, they feel that, you know, something bad will be happening. Right?
Yeah.
So for me is what I realized that the more power I gave, the more power I get. It sounds a bit like not true, but this is how I discovered, because the more I empower them and then they realize that they have the power. And when you ask them, you know, this is the thing we're supposed to do, how do you think about it? They are all most likely to buy in what you sell, because they know that they have the power in deciding as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So important. So important. I mean, it's basically that whole space of feeling happier. When you're happier, when you feel like you have some more control, when you feel like you're empowered, the word that you've been using a lot, which I love how you're using in the space of talking about cybersecurity, when you're feeling more empowered, then you're more open and receptive. And kids want to be heard. Kids want to be, like I said before, and we know this. We were kids. Like, nobody likes being bossed around all the time. You don't feel very intelligent when you're doing that, and you just feel powerless.
Yes, yes. And like I said, the more they are empowered, the more they are willing to participate. They are also willing to voice out what they are on their minds. And then it's also about, like, you know, sometimes if you want to shape habits, right, it's also about discovering what they want. Because, you know, a lot of parents come to me that they want them to have less screen time. Then I ask, what do you want them to do? Then, you know, they may actually come up with this list that they want them to do. But it may be a list that the children don't want to do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also about, like, discovering, you know, their passions, talents, and what they want to do at the end of the day.
Gosh, there's so much to say in that. It's so true. It's like, here you are, like, I don't want you doing this. I want you less screen time. Well, what do you want them to be doing? I don't know, but not this. So it's like, well, okay. But you're exactly right, is that it is about discovering who they are, what they're interested in. And if they're not sure, then it's setting the space for them to be able to have more exploration and time. They might need some structure in order to be guided, but if you're listening, you know, you can help them get to that space or brainstorm it.
Yes, yes, yes. Obviously, the children need ours, you know, we as the parent, as the guide, you know, to put in the structures and really discussing, you know, what are the values they want to embrace, what are the things that they see that they want to do, you know, what are the things that will make them happier, right? So like my children's, like my son's, he always likes drawing. So, you know, if you ask him what will make him happy, he will say that I'll actually spend time drawing.
Right. Right. I just think I'm going to go back to it. I love how you started it off with values, as family values. I think that's really important, because it's not often discussed enough, you know. It's not a conversation that's that is usually had. So there's things that are implied, but to sit down and have that conversation as a starting point, I think it just opens up the door to really listen to each other and get to know your kids.
Yes, yes. And one of the reasons why I think now in this cyber era, in this digital era, family values is more important is, you know, the information that our children have access is just huge, you know. And if we are not careful about the content they're exposed to, you know, and if you don't give them the family values, they will actually take on some other people's value. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Some of the parents actually come to me, you know, and when they actually have just this problem gotten for like few years, they realize the children are not their children anymore, to be honest. Yeah. Because the children has just take on someone else's value, which is not your family values at all. It's not something you bridge on. So that's why I think that in this digital era, it's even more importantly that we should have some family values which we co-created with the children. So that number one, when they are exposed to something that they have not experienced, like, you know, some of the content, or maybe the peer pressure, you know, the friend just, hey, this is what I watch, you know, you will have a decision-making guideline, like just a baseline for you to assess whether is it in line with my identity. Is it in line with my family values, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's funny. It's just making me think of which, you know, the whole thing with video games. So for the longest time with her son, I wouldn't let him bring in any of the killing games. And his friends had it. And I know that when he went to their house, he was playing it. But it was just like, no, you know, it's not inside the house. And at one point when he was so humiliated by me, because when we would go to what's called GameStop here, which sold all the games, I would basically be interrogating the people that work there about what the game is about and all this kind of stuff. And he was just rolling his eyes like, oh my God, you are so embarrassing. And I would say, yes, you can get it. And then I would change my mind once I got up to the counter. And he's like, you know what? I don't mind you saying no. It's just you took me through the whole process of thinking it was yes. Until we went to get to it and you changed your mind. Which in thinking about it, and what you're saying, and if I could dial back, it goes back to those values, which if they were discussed first, we wouldn't have gotten to the cash register.
Yes, yes. And sometimes kids are smart, you know, they want the best for them, and they want, and if let's say, you know, it's really the co-created family values, they embrace that, they want to hold and stick to the family values. And yeah. I guess that is the time that it's become very powerful. They are very self-driven, you know, like I have one parenting coach come to me before. She's my student, and she was also selling the family values to the children, and she just can't get the children to see the family values as their own values until we go through it again. And the big switch is about when the children see your family values as their own values, then like I said, it just becomes so powerful. They are very self-driven, and you do not need to be there, and you can just listen to what they think and thought, and they will just make sure that they want to follow. Or maybe sometimes they are not sure, they will just come to you.
So what age, before we get on to the second question, what age do you suggest sitting down with kids and starting this process?
You mean the digital parenting or the family values?
The family values and the digital parenting. Starting with values first, I guess.
Yes, yes. You know, if digital parenting, then I usually advise as long as the first sign that you want to give the internet access to your children, you know, maybe that's the best time to start, because you don't want them to be addicted and suddenly you realize, oh, this is another problem, and then you come to me. Then I would say that we have to undo the bad habits first and then only work back, you know, so it's a bit more work. But when it comes to family values, I think that you can actually start as the children as young as maybe 3 years old or 4 years old. Yeah. Like, you know, if you want to get him be responsible, you know, it can be a very small things that you can get him to do, like even as young as 3 years old. Maybe, you know, after you eat your meal, can you put your plates into the sink? You know, maybe they can just take the plate, which is empty, and just put back into the sink. You know, when you change your clothes, can you put back your clothes back to the basin, right? You know, to the laundry place that where you put the dirty clothes, right? So you can always talk about that when your children are very young. Mm-hmm. And I talk to my children about responsibility when they are very young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, I mean, nowadays you see kids, you're in the store and you see kids with iPads or phones sitting in the, you know, in the push cart as young as like 3 or 4, like playing a game, you know, it's like something to keep them busy while they're, I mean, it's, you just see it all the time.
Yes, yes. But I think, you know, if we talk about creativity, right, it's all about like when you are, you know, if you think about it, because you are an art teacher, right? So where do your creativity come from? It's actually come when we are bored. We have nothing to do. And we start to imagine. And then that's where the creativity comes in, right?
I don't know if it's for me when I'm bored, but it just, it comes as inspiration. I could just be doing something, or I could either be just kind of doing another something and an idea kind of comes in and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Or I'm actually in the flow of doing whatever it is. And then it's just coming through really strong.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure that when you do things, you are not on the screens, you don't look at something that, you know, and usually it's doing maybe when you are, you know, I don't know, maybe taking a shower, because most people mm-hmm. tell me that their most creative time is when you are taking a shower, right?
So true.
Yeah. So actually it won't be, the creative time is always not when you are on the screens, or maybe less, I guess it may be through screens, but it's actually very seldom. And sometimes it's also about allow the children to embrace, you know, they're bored, it's okay, you know, find things that, yeah. being creative and find things that you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like looking out the window.
Yeah.
<And not, yes. laughs> looking out the window and engaging in conversation. So as we're getting to the top of the hour soon, let me kind of, I want to find out more about who you are, Jesse, a little bit more about how you incorporate more creativity just into your own life. We talked a lot about work, but are there other things that you like to do that bring it into your world?
Oh, yes, yes. So like I said, my creativity will be, you know, finding things that is simple and easy to implement. So, so you know, like now in the pandemic, you know, and I guess that the self-love has to be more. So what I incorporate, you know, in before the pandemic and now with the pandemic is like I started to have my day morning routine, which I started with the meditations. And when I start with the meditations, that's where your creativity will flow, because you actually spend time be with yourself mm-hmm. and, you know, really being creative, right? And then also that I will actually start to, you know, getting exercise. And sometimes it's just being exploring other things that what are the other exercise you can actually do. And then also, you know, discovering what other things that you can talk to your children. You know, and also discovering what other activities you can do with your children as well.
Yeah. Do you like to cook or anything, or listen to music?
Yes, music, but cook not. I don't really like to cook, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. What kind of music do you like?
Most of the time is more on like the calming meditations music, because I found that it's actually more calm for me, especially mm-hmm. that now with the pandemic, we can't be, you know, we can't go out as much as we can. And then that, and also that I have to homeschool my children now. And not four of them. I have two that I need to homeschool, which is the twins. And then another two of them that they will have to embrace the online school.
How old are your children?
They are 11 years old, 8 years old, and the twins are 5 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you got your hands full.
Yes, obviously very full. That's why I say that sometimes it's about the time, and I have to really think of what are the things that I can just do in a very easy steps, rather than, you know, create a whole thing that, you know, a lot of time. And time is something that I'm very conscious about.
I think it's an important point to bring in is time and doing things in easy steps. A lot of times I find for what I do in starting I Am Creative and the publishing house, but more so in I Am Creative, you know, the mission is to expand this definition of what creativity is. So by allowing and giving people like experiential kits and in the sense of they have a chance to do some kind of an activity with everything provided for them. And just in something like that, it's an easy step where it takes away having to think about where to get things. Like everything is there for you. And then you can just be in the space to do it. But when I'm talking to people about things and they're kind of disconnected and they're like, well, I don't know what I like. I don't know what I enjoy. It's like we get so stuck in our heads. So it's like even if you start with the simplest things of, oh, I actually like nature or I like flowers. It's like, okay, well, then you can learn more about flowers and you can do some research on flowers. You could do some gardening. You could do, you know, there's lots of different aspects that you can take on things that don't have to be these huge, you know, massive leaps. It's just small steps.
Yes, yes. I think what you actually say is very important as well, you know, and sometimes, you know, when we think about, oh, I want to do this. And when they think about, you know, wow, I have to, you know, I have to buy this, you know, and the things that they thought that, oh, this is a step I need to do, maybe just overwhelm, and that's why people never get to start their new hobbies or discovering new things or just being creative like what you said.
Yeah. And it's just, I think especially for adults, we get so stuck in not being good at something or not being perceived as being good at something, so we don't want to do it. Where it's, for me, especially at this point in life and realizing it's like embrace the silliness and embrace the mistakes and embrace the fact that you're going to make mistakes and you might suck at something and that's okay. Like we're not going to be great at everything. Like I'm not a very good singer. I'm not a good singer and that's fine, but I like to go around and sing and dance and do that because it makes me feel happy. It doesn't mean I'm doing it on stage in front of, you know, all these people, but I'll do it with my daughter in the car as we're and blast the music and just sing or put the music on and just dance around in the house. Like that just, it feels good.
Oh, yes, yes. I talk about that. I recall that, you know, there's one time that, you know, we are still in the lockdown and then my daughter was saying that, okay, you know, she likes pizza and she was thinking, why not we try to make a pizza, you know? And we are in Malaysia, you know, I'm Asian, so usually we cook a lot of Asian foods, but not the pizza. So we never thought the pizza. Then I said, I'm good at baking cakes. I know how to bake cakes. So I was teaching her and she was able to bake some butter cakes and all that. But I said, I never did a pizza. But I told her, well, if you don't mind to have like a trial and error, then let's do it. And she said, yeah, just do it. You know, we don't know. And this is what I teach about my children. You know, sometimes just do it, you know, don't think so much. And then if the outcome is not good or it's not something that you like, maybe just don't repeat the second time, you know. So actually, to be honest, the pizza came out a bit hard. It's not too great. But you know what? The children likes it. She said, hey, this is good, actually. You say, really?
See, different perspectives.
Yes, yes. Because if you talk about like, you know, if let's say you are comparing with the outside pizza, is this is too hard and, you know, the look wasn't great. Right. I think that in terms of the taste, it's okay, it's eatable, but it's not that great, you know, compared with, you know, if you got a basic pizza out there. You know, but the kids actually like it. And sometimes they say that, okay, do you want to do a pizza? Then I say, but we failed the pizza project. They say, never mind, we can try again.
Exactly. And it's just going to get better. It's like you learn from it. And it's just different. Like you guys could have a pizza party. Like you could have square pizza. You could have circle pizza. You could put all different kinds of toppings on it and make them like just really silly toppings or, you know, regular toppings. It's just, we did a lot of this kind of stuff also during lockdown. We started having brunch every Sunday and it's just something we didn't take the time for so much. So we would sit down as a family. So here having my 18 and 21 year old, or at the time they were a little younger, but anyway, we'd say, okay, we're coming up with the menu. It'd be certain people's times to come up with the menu. And we're sitting down together and we're just going to experiment and explore and try some different things, or try things that we know that we like. We'd like make a buffet of like an omelet buffet and have all these different toppings. You could put whatever you want in it. And we made different cream cheeses and had, you know, fresh juice, and it was just fun. It felt so good to do it. We looked forward to it.
Wow, wow. I think it's a good idea as well. Maybe I should actually, you know, think of one of the days I should actually put in my family as well.
It's just, and that's a good way to find out from the kids, like, what kind of food would you want? Like, what would be fun to make? Something you've had before or you haven't had before. And, you know, my son was like, I'm making my own omelet. Like, I don't want you guys making it because you can't do it as well as I am. I was like, it's fine. But we made like three different kinds of pancakes, and it was one, you know, the kids were old enough, we'd have mimosas, and it was just fun.
Yes, yes. I think we do not need to, you know, bake or do something. It's very, you know, it could be as simple as omelette and pancake, you know, which is simple and easy. And at the same time, it's just nice to have.
And it's connection time. Like you're saying, it's like family time. Where you actually, when you're doing these activities together and whatever it could look like, even if you sat down with your son, because you know he likes to draw, and you were like, I'm going to do this with you, and you know, it'll be fun. It's time, that's when the kids will talk more, and you can learn more about them. And it's just conversation. We learn more about each other.
Yes, yes, yes. And to be honest, nowadays, he actually gone to, you know, drawing a comic. So sometimes, you know, I will actually ask, what is your story about your comic, you know? But obviously, the stories seems a bit silly, and sometimes I couldn't remember it. But, you know, I think that he's really put in his time and effort, and really think of, like, you know, because he's just 8 years old, there's this hutch how much story he can actually think of. But I really was amazed and really, you know, appreciate that the hard work that he's put in, you know?
Right. Right. And that's the age where their imagination is. And if we keep, and as adults, the goal is to keep it going within adulthood, to be, to use our imaginations, because we often kind of forget about that, of how imaginative we are, and tell these silly stories. And, you know, as he's creating his comic strips, you know, there's dinosaurs, there's aliens, there's animals that talk, there's, you know, it's time to have fun and just feel empowered, like you use that word many times.
Yes, yes, yes. I totally agree with that.
So let's move on to the third question, because we're getting to the top of the hour, and I would love to hear, it's everything that we talked about, but just kind of putting some closure on, why do you think that creativity is important?
Well, I think one of the valuable skills in the future will be creativity, because as you see right now, and I always put in the tech, you know, like in the cybersecurity, it's always about tech, you know, but the AI, when the AI comes, you know, it will replace a lot of jobs, you know, a lot of jobs. Those jobs which is very easy to replace will be things that is you don't need to have a lot of creativity, you know, and to be honest, they is usually these are the things that you can't be creative, because you want to replace things that is very easy to predict, you know, it's going to be step A, B, C, and that's it. There's no creativity involved. But on the other side, we still need people to be creative, to come up with new things, you know, to invent things, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where, you know, the creativity will be one of the most important assets, especially for our children in their era, when AI will be more dominant there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That whole AI thing. Wow. It's big.
Yes, yes, yes. If you look at the pandemic right now, you know what? You know, the lot of AI actually has actually replaced, you know, like just like McDonald's, You know, last time there's a lot of waiter, but now because of, you know, people, they want to reduce the people in the counter, they just set up the kiosk. You know, you don't need to have so many people out there. The customer can just go in, just click, 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 order, and then you just need the people behind the scene and bring the food to them. That's it. You know, you reduce some of the work out there, right?
Gosh, it's so true, but there's like human connection. It's like as you're going through whatever it is you're trying to talk to somebody and they're like, any questions? We can help you. I'm like, talk to a human. Talk. And they're like, we're hearing you want to talk to a person. Yes. Are you sure we can help you? Yes. Okay, we're connecting you. Thank you.
Yes, and that's why I think the creativity and, you know, the ability to build the connections and relationship will be one of the precious skills that we'll need in the future.
Yeah. Whew. I've so enjoyed having you in this space. Thank you so much, Jesse. It's so late on your end, and I so appreciate you staying up with us.
Yes, sure, no problem. And I really have fun with the conversations with you. It's just fun and we just can discuss about things about being creative. And I love this.
I just, you brought up so many important points and so many things that are just so, just these important touch points that can really be applied into people's lives. So thank you for sharing. And before I do my closing, is there any final words or wisdom that you want to share before we close out?
Yes. I think that the most important is about really think of the, you know, the internet dangers out there, because what worries me is about, you know, the children are left alone with the device, and, you know, the internet dangers is actually, you know, just at the phone. So you're actually leaving, you know, the children out there with the internet dangers. And that's why I think that this is very important that, you know, the parents has starts to move, you know, with digital parenting so that they can also empower their children to use electronic device responsibly and at the same time staying safe online, because you don't want them to be caught with all these internet dangers or the screen addictions problems right now.
Yeah. And also like that, when people pose as somebody else and then they meet up with somebody, like that kind of thing. I mean, that's different than what you're talking about within this context, but I know my son was watching these things where they actually would catch child molesters because they would meet in some online space and then say that they were going to meet at Walmart. And the person who was supposedly the child was actually like an undercover cop.
Wow.
And found them. And so it was like disclosing, you know, making them visible and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, especially during the pandemic, because most children are going online, the online predators know that. And now I think there's I don't know how much millions, I think the last I read is about 1.5 million online predators are really preying on the children.
Yeah.
You know, so it's actually very scary out there, and that's why the you know, digital parenting skill is actually becoming more important right now.
Yeah. So everybody, you have a child, you need to talk to Jesse. Jesse will help guide you through the process if you're feeling completely overwhelmed and you need help through it, because she knows what she's talking about. So again, Jesse, thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much, Hollis. Bye.
Yeah, goodbye. And everybody, thank you so much to the people that were here live, people catching the replay. This space is all about inspiring each other, sharing stories and connection. I believe we have always needed this, and we need this now more than ever. We can reach each other globally and support each other. So please like, follow, and share to spread the word to lift each other up. So I look forward to speaking to you soon. So have a good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.